Right. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you on this Father's Day. We thank you for your goodness and who you are to us, how you reveal yourself to us in so many wonderful ways. It's a beautiful day. As we come together in one accord, I pray that you give a special blessing to the fathers that are here. And again, all the fathers that we know in our circles, we are your image. And so, Father, we pray that you continue to conform us to your image, transform us by the renewing of our mind. Thank you for the teaching. Pray that you bless Coach Bailey right now as he brings us to the word, and that you would make our conversation fruitful and beneficial. We honor you. We give you glory. We say, Happy Father's Day to you, Daddy, in Jesus' name and by your Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I'd never heard that before, Dave, saying that. That's really cool. Incredible thought, too. Incredible thought. Yeah, this is, I was thinking, week 20, that's 5 months. And, you know, we haven't really defined it, although we do have a mission statement for what this is, but we've tried to just keep it people sitting under the leadership and love of Christ. I mean, because when you aim for community, you usually get community for a little while, but we all have different ideas of that. But when you sit under Christ or any, really for any common mission or task, then community can happen. But what greater task than Christ, the ultimate leader? And so that's what we're doing, and we're allowing God to shape us. And it's been fun to hear how, you know, as we've gone deeper with Christ, the gospel has gone wider in some of the spaces that each of us embrace and live in. And we're seeing that in lots of different ways. If we had time one day, we just got to share the stories, and maybe we'll just give room for that. But thanks for being here on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everybody. I'm going to share the screen with everyone. There we go. I think everybody can see that okay. And all right, everybody can see that, right? Okay, I see it, some heads shaking there. So yeah, this is week 20, and we're gonna talk about knowing God with your heart. There's a song by Chance the Rapper. I'm not real familiar with the rap scene anymore. When I was coaching, I was kind of still to some degree in the know, and had some, I could break out some lyrics, of course, from the 70s, Rapper's Delight. You guys know I got that one down. And so I don't want to pick on him, but there's a phrase he uses, and I'm glad there's Christian rappers and all kinds of genre of music, but this phrase is used in other genres of Christian music as well, from gospel, contemporary, Christian. And it goes like this: as my praise goes up, his blessings come down. As my praise goes up, his blessings come down. Now, I don't want to nitpick, because there's something in praise that just gets us out of our own head and releases us to, and we can experience blessing, because in looking at Jesus, we forget about some of our troubles and we recognize that he's in control. But I think the Apostle Paul would put it another way. If he was rapping, he would put, because the blessing came down, our praise goes up, because that's the gospel. Religion in all varieties of any kind of religion, even the Christian variety of religions, because they're out there, says do to get. But the gospel says done, therefore do, and flips that on his head. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 1 today. Let me see if this is. There we go. Ephesians 1, but some background to the book of Ephesians is Paul, of course, is the author. He was a Pharisee who terrorized Christians. There were just Jewish Christians at this time, and mainly. And so he hated that. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees, a Hebrew among Hebrews, and was ascending up the ladder and had a license to kill and to drag anyone he wanted into court. And that's what he did. But he was dramatically converted, as we know. And upon that conversion, he became a part of this very community he used to terrorize. But even more so, he began to understand that the gospel came through Israel, through the seed of Abraham, came Jesus Christ, who was for all people. That's how they were a nation blessed to be a blessing. And so he became the fame, the world's greatest missionary, but to the Gentiles. So Paul wrote this letter from prison in Rome. Paul had planted the church several years earlier. And so he had an affinity for this church, and he loved these people. They were probably in, several years in, but not too young, not too old. They're sort of on their own. So he's writing not to rebuke them in any way, but to encourage them, and not even to go further, but to help them understand that where, as you guys might have said, as some of you are coaches, what got you there, what got us there, we need to stay with that because that's what will keep us there and continue to help us grow. You could look at Ephesians in three parts. First three chapters are about sit, and then walking out your faith, and standing against opposition. So sitting just means resting. These are the indicatives of the gospel that are done, can't be undone. They are finished work of Jesus Christ. And so sitting just references or is a way of referencing that there's nothing we can add to it. It is done, and it is all the initiative of God towards us. God's love to us is expressed through his grace. And if we don't get that, then we're just walking aimlessly. We're walking in the flesh. We're walking in our own strength. We're trying to do stuff, but we can't really, we're walking without a purpose. And so, but once these truths sink in and we really begin to understand the firm foundation we have in Christ Jesus and our relationship with him, then walking out, the second part of Ephesians is learning to walk out your faith. And as you guys know, as you walk it out, you're going to run into some things out there. And that's where we need to stand firm and put on the armor of God, which is about chapter 6. And it's interesting that the armor of God is really all the gospel indicatives that we are learning early on. And so in chapter 1, throughout the entire book of Ephesians, the phrase in him or in Christ is used 40 times. And in simple terms, it just means union with Christ. He included us when he died. He included all humanity. And he included us when he rose. And upon ascending into heaven and at the right hand as the Son of Man on our behalf at the right hand of God, interceding for us, he also gave us his Spirit. So we're in Christ and Christ is in us. And it's a mystical union, but it's a real union and something we can experience and know on a personal level. And the other thing is Paul uses the language we. I mean, it's throughout the entire book. Unity is a major theme. In fact, in ancient culture and many cultures around the world today, not the Western culture, they think in terms of familia and community. We think individual. We think very in the expressive individualism, let it go. All the Disney, every Disney movie is the same thing of breaking away, how to be your own person. That's why we have an incredible identity crisis, which we could talk about forever and the different ways that's playing out in our society. But Paul is writing to a group that is believing that we all contribute to the whole. We're all a part of something bigger than ourselves. So we're going to look at it in two parts today. We're going to focus, and I'm going to try to get through that. If I don't, Dave, then we'll get stuck at the first part. Not stuck. That's a great place to be. But verses 1 through 14, Paul is just emoting about the grace of God. But if we don't read that and at least try to grasp it, then 15 through 23 is Paul's prayer. We'd never really understand the prayer of Paul. And that why he wants us to go deeper with God. So that's kind of the setup to the book. And do we have somebody that's reading this? Did we decide that, Dave?
I got you, Coach.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, unless someone would like to read it, because it's here. Would anybody like to read Ephesians 1 through 14? All right, let's read. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, Amen. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
So those are some dense verses, chock full of gospel. You could probably preach a dozen sermons out of that. But just notice the adjectives. Notice that this is God's doing and how the Trinity is at work in this. And Jay Walls, thank you for reading this spoken word. He's going to do that for us. And what this is just a more simplified way. This pastor that wrote this just found a way to bring this text into a simple form where you can kind of flow with it and get the main message and the truths, the different truths that Paul's trying to communicate here about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to put the lyrics up and I'll let Jay, you do your thing.
You are chosen by the Father. You're redeemed by the Son. You're sealed by the Spirit, our God, the three in one. To the praise of his glory is the theme of our song. From beginning to end, he has loved you all along. To call this a mystery, it goes without saying, our union with Christ, he won't be delaying. To all who believe, you are marked by a seal. You are filled with his Spirit, a guarantee that it's real. He has given us this promise. Through Christ, we are raised, chosen, redeemed, and sealed. Let his name be praised.
Amen. Amen. As the praises go down, as the blessing came down, our praises go up. Really the highlight here is how the triune God gives us these ironclad assurances all working together. The God who fashioned us in our disconnection redeemed us. The Father chose us. This wasn't a crackpot plan when things went awry. This was a God who saw us in Christ. We just read, he saw us in Christ before the foundations of the world. Isn't that incredible? And he chose us. This was choosing humanity. He wanted relationship. This is a relational God. And you see how the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit are working together on our behalf as his creation. Well, it's Father's Day. What would we do for our kids? But it's just mind-boggling because it has so much to tell us about who God is. And the Son redeems us. So the Son enters in and transfers us from the dominion of darkness that had us enslaved and brings us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves and brings us into a whole new relationship recreated in Christ. So we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works and works that were prepared long ago before we were around, that we would one day walk in those good works. And so through the Son, we find redemption. We've been bought back. The glory we lost, that glory is in relationship walking with God in the image of God and connection with God was lost. And so every human being, apart from that, has a void in their heart, a distant memory of a glory lost, and is looking to try to fulfill that in some kind of way, in healthy or unhealthy ways, but never satisfying until they're connected again to their creator. And Jesus does that. Then the Spirit seals us. Guarantee. We have a deposit that guarantees our inheritance to come, but also the Holy Spirit does other things for us, abiding with us through the ebb and flow of life. So as we head into the next half of this is now Paul. Based on all this, he's going to say, because of this, for this reason, it is for this reason, he says, all these things we just read that Dave read and Jay summarized for us, he prays this prayer. I remember real quick, just one lead-in story before we read it. When I was a kid, my father, as a pastor, had an office in his house. And this is before home offices were a popular thing. In fact, I don't know anybody that had them. He was a district superintendent, so his role was in charge of many different churches in the metropolitan area. We were living in New Jersey, so that was his job. And so pastors would come to the house, young pastors, you know, sometimes trying, you know, coming to be licensed or have an interview or a review. And so we would, you know, when the doorbell rang back in the day, we, you know, didn't have phones or any of the technology. So it was like an exciting moment. Somebody's at the door. Who could it be for? Is it one of my friends, your friends, the mailman? You know, we didn't know, but we would sprint to the door. And sometimes there'd be a guy in a suit looking for my dad. But they always were nervous and a little uptight. And they'd always say things like, oh, your father is a godly, godly man. And we'd be like, yeah, whatever. And, you know, we didn't really care about that. And so we didn't understand because they knew my father from the office as their, you know, their employer. And they knew him. Even the office sometimes could feel like a courtroom to them, because in those situations, you're sort of justifying what you've been doing and why your church is where it is and those kind of things. It just can be a daunting thing. It's a different kind of relationship. But as kids, we knew my dad in the living room. We knew him in a whole different sense. We knew the guy that we could wrestle with, we could make fun of, and he played the victim really well, mess up his slicked hair. He always had this slick back gangster look, and we just messed that up. Well, we did go to the courtroom when we got in trouble. That's where we got sent to that office, but we didn't know our dad there. So as we're reading this, we're getting a glimpse at what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here as we read into this prayer. For the sake of time, I'm going to read this and probably going to blitz through this last part, but at least set it up for the discussion that you guys will have. And I'm envious. I'm going to have FOMO that I can't be there. Last time I did this, I called Dave and Kyle. I was blowing up their phone because I just wanted to hear about it. And they were shot, so they didn't get back to me for hours. So guys, thanks for that. But anyway, here's the scripture. And this is Paul's prayer for the We Movement, because it's Paul's prayer for every church. For this reason, everything we just read, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And the rest of this, these verses, I'll read them, are really just explaining what this power is and what it means. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let that last verse marinate. We're not going to focus on it, but it plays into some previous verses. God, Jesus was set after dying and rising and ascending to heaven as the Son of Man, is put in charge, appointed head over everything, but it's for the church, his body. So there's a connection. It's not, okay, do my work. I did my part. I'm in heaven now. I'm rooting for you. But there is a connection where God is leading and guiding his body. And interestingly, his body is the fullness of him, not you or me, not as rogue lone rangers trying to do the work of God or live our life. But you see how important we is to God, how important the family of God is, how important church is. It's all the same thing, right? I'm using adjectives to describe the same thing, but it's through the church and the fullness of him. It's Jesus who fills everything in every way, but he operates through us. So that's the key thing there. So just quickly before I have to bounce, when he's talking about the eyes of your heart enlightened, first of all, Paul is congratulating or complimenting this church because they have faith in God and love for one another. They have the vertical and the horizontal going well. They're not in a bad place. They're in a good place. But Paul's exhorting this church to know God more deeply. The Greek to know or knowledge that's used in this passage is not about abstract concepts or more information or anything like that in a cognitive level, but it's an experiential knowledge. It's the difference with the office and the living room I described before. It's intimacy. The heart is the seat of our affections. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We read that in Matthew. It always comes to fruition when push comes to shove. What we truly believe is not up here. It's going to be what's in our heart. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. It really determines everything. So the heart shows truly what we believe when push comes to shove. And it's possible that you can know the entire Bible and not know God personally. Scriptures, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees who knew the scriptures inside and out and said, and he said, you searched these scriptures for eternal life. But it's these scriptures that testify about me. What he's saying is this written word is to point you to me, that all of this is that you might know me in a personal and deeper way as you live. So just going back to a few key verses, Paul says, as we know God more deeply, this is basically what he's set saying, we live more expectantly. Those three things. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, that the Father chose you, that the Son redeemed you, that the Spirit has sealed you. And because of these realities that you know how, and because you know how the story ends, that you can live with a different kind of peace and expectancy than the world can. It's not that you don't have trouble, but you also have this abiding presence with you to overcome. So we can be real people. We don't have to be fake super Christians and pretend that we have no issues, but we have this anchor in our soul that gives us a hope. And this expectancy, kind of living in light of eternity, gives us a way to frame our life. Like, we're not trying to, you know, beat the clock. We have eternal life within us. And it gives us the ability, as we grow deeper with God, we understand the things that matter, where to spend our time, what's going to last for eternity and what isn't. And in what ways can I shape my life around these gospel truths? If God is this good, and if he has done this for me, and if truly my identity is formed in him, then how should I then live? And so what this gives us is, as we know God more deeply, we start to live with a greater expectancy. And that expectancy is part of the blessing of our lives, but the witness of our lives as well. And then secondly, and I got to go quick, when we know God more deeply, we live together in greater unity. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And then just the thing I want you to catch here is that you and I, his church, the we movement, is an inheritance to Jesus. But why wouldn't it be, in a sense, when you think of all the vested interests that we are his workmanship from the beginning? God thought of us, fashioned us. In our sin, he chased us, pursued us, redeems us all through history. And here we are now, his church, his body. The last chapter, the last message, his last message before he comes and sets everything right that's been wrong with this world. And there will be judgment, but those of us in Christ will be able to embrace that, because we'll be judged by the righteousness of Christ because we're in him. And that's why we're here. So how this unity works is, as we look to Jesus, and as we're all under the same authority and love and leadership of God, we start to line up together, and we see in this that we have a common mission and goal and a connection of the Spirit. Because when you were brought into Christ spiritually, that means we were brought into each other spiritually as well. So even if we're not living like it, but once we catch it, as we go deeper, we're less petty, we're less trite, and we begin to, you know, comparing, competing, and tribalism and all those things lose their power, because we have a greater glory that God has restored in Christ. And then just lastly, and we'll leave right after this, as we know God more deeply, we live more courageously. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. It's an incredible thought. It's the power of the resurrection Christ that lives through the church, but it's always for the betterment and the blessing of other people. Always for the blessing of other people. But not only are we brought up in this grand purpose, I guess the point of this is we have this grand purpose. We're a part of the redemptive history. We're connected to all those past who have been playing in this role. And now in these last days are really since Christ ascended and gave us his Spirit. We're in the last days, we've been in them. We have a role to play, each of us. And it's together that we find the power of God working on behalf of other people. I could say more. I'm trying to pick out what's most important, but I'm just gonna leave it here. Dave's gonna lead the discussion time. And I hope this at least set up a robust discussion for you guys. I know the Spirit of God will lead you. And just God bless you guys from here. Happy Father's Day again.
Man, Coach, thank you, man. That's a powerful word. Okay.
Give me a prayer, but I'm going to leave right now because I'm behind my, I'm running a bit late.
So, DB, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Sorry for calling DB. Love you, man.
Love you guys, man.
All right, D.
And Dave, don't forget to fill me in on everything, man.
You're good. All right. Can I have hey D, can I ask you to pray for Coach as he goes to prayer, goes to preach, and then we'll go forward. Is that good, D?
Father, we're so grateful for you being our Father. And we pray your blessings upon Dan today. We pray that as he speaks, your name will be hallowed, that your kingdom will come and your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Pray that you would provide daily bread for those who he speaks to, and that they would be willing to forgive even as you forgive them, that you would lead them not into temptation, but that you would deliver them from evil through the gospel that Dan preaches to them today. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, D. At this time, I'm going to stop the recording. So I'm just letting everybody know.